Fight!
Welcome, my friends, to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name is Dustin.
My name is Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 41 in the original Final Fantasy game, which I hope we get to play someday. There are 6 character types. I'm sure that y'all probably know what they are.
Classes.
And that's why we're friends. Fighter, thief, black belt, white mage, black mage, and the illustrious red mage. So rather than us having this conversation and you sharing which class you think represents yourself, I want to hear which class you think represents the other two of us.
This is always a terrible idea.
Because no, it's a great idea.
No, you just get trolled.
No, you don't.
For laughs, just for comedy's sake.
You can't start off mad. Dallas. Nolan's just perpetually mad at Dallas for calling him Slippy the Frog or Sippy, whatever his name is.
I'll play your stupid game. I'm not going first.
Well,
go ahead, get it over with, Kenny.
Oh, God.
Okay, let me think about it.
While y'all think about it, how about I go? Because I'm
okay,
a little
you
bit
go
more
first.
Prepared.
Yeah,
right.
You know.
So I would say Nolan is the thief. He's crafty and he's nimble and he's swift. But beyond that, when people first meet Nolan, they're not sure what to do with him. They're not sure where he fits into the party. He's nice, but he's mysterious. Leaves people feeling a little bit unsure. But over time, as he evolves into a ninja, Nolan, you become a solid addition to any party, and I'm glad to have you on my team.
Wow. Hang on. This is way more thought out than our answers are going to be, and that was really sweet of you.
No, I'm gonna say something really thought out, too.
And Kenny, I feel like there's no question here, but Kenny's the red mage. He's a jack of all trades, master of none. He has the healing ability to come alongside and support me, to be there when I really need him the most. But then at the drop of a hat, he can accidentally cast fire and screw things up. So that's Kenny in my life, the red mage.
It's so true.
Those are really good answers. They're going to be better than ours.
Kenny, what would you say about Nolan and I?
Oh, it's hard. I'm going to say probably Nolan is like the black belt.
Yeah.
I think some of my same like reasons, but like where they're kind of those crossover characters, you know, who do a little bit of everything, and you went thief, I went the other direction.
Sure.
Plus like if you saw his face, he's got a kind of ninja look to him.
And I'm bald. That's why I'm a black belt, because they're always bald.
No, you're not bald at all. Are you bald?
You do have a ninja look.
Have I not seen you?
Too,
like, did you take all your hair off?
I'm like, no, I'm anti-bald.
Okay, yeah, you got the hair. Like, Nolan's got so much hair, if you guys don't know. I don't know why you would know that.
He's got hair to spare.
Y'all want some?
But, you know, like thin and scrappy, and I don't know, like, I could see that. And all Dustin, right. I feel like you'd just be the fighter. Not like in a bad way, but you tend to be a leadership sort of personality, and those are always the person that you just like stick in the front line and let them go to town and get things done.
I'll go to town.
Yeah, you
will.
But
go on.
Nolan, what do you say about Kenny and myself?
Okay, so Dustin, I would say, is the knight, because like Kenny said, Dustin is like a leader. I mean, he's kind of the leader of our podcast. He leads the conversation, but also outside of the podcast, he's in many leadership roles. So I see Dustin as that main character that you invest a lot of time in.
That you put on the front lines and hope everybody else hits instead of you.
but he gladly takes
just,
the damage.
Yeah, and just defeats
Absolutely.
Everybody. Kenny, I would say, this is not to be a troll, but this is for real. I think Kenny would be the bard because he's a supportive role.
It's not even one of the 6 classes that I mentioned.
It's a standard archetype,
oh,
though.
Yeah,
it's
that's,
fair
that's
that he
genius.
Would think
okay,
that.
If you if I'm picking out of those 6 strictly,
I mean, bards, I love that you just selected bard. That's a great.
Me too.
Well, I'll stick with bard. If we're doing Final Fantasy,
stick
maybe a
bard.
White mage. But bard because Kenny's supportive and... I feel like when Kenny plays, the way that Kenny plays video games and board games.
And life.
He tends to do things that are very different from the typical. So like your typical role would be a knight. Straightforward,
right.
Fight with a sword. Kenny, on the other
Quirky.
Hand. is quirky. Yeah, he does different things. And he plays League of Legends very quirky and terribly when he does Jungle Lulu. And so it's that kind of character that Kenny is.
Put me on blast.
So
I think for the most part, everything that we said was kind. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, group hug.
I agree. We did it well.
That was a moment.
Unfortunately, we didn't play Final Fantasy this week, but we did play a game where I think the creators hoped that we, the players, would see ourselves in the narrative, like that we would see ourselves living out the experiences and having our emotions toyed with as if we were the main characters. And so that's why I wanted to do that at the beginning, because I think we're about to get very metaphysical with the game Earthbound.
Let's get metaphysical.
Let's get metaphysical with it.
Overview.
Earthbound, also known as Mother 2 in Japan, is a 1994 JRPG.
Kind of.
Yeah, you're right. So J, for those of you that aren't too familiar with that, J stands for Japanese, RPG stands for role-playing game, and it was published by Nintendo for the Super Nintendo. And it's actually a sequel, although it was the first and only of its series to be released in English until just last year. Like, even there was a sequel, Mother 3, but that still wasn't released in America. And so just until last year. Now, I said JRPG, Japanese role-playing game, and that might have conjured up some images in your mind if you're a gamer of what this game might look like. But I want you to do this for me. Take everything that you've just thought of when it comes to JRPG, throw that out the window, like discard every single bit of it. This is nothing like any JRPG that you've ever played before.
That's true. I mean, there's elements that have that feel, but overall, yeah, it's a very, very unique game.
It should be ARPG. Do you know what the A stands for?
Yeah, African.
Yep.
Austrian?
No.
Australian?
Yep.
Acupuncture?
Is that A?
Aardvark.
What does it stand for?
American. Because it's like...
You got you.
It's like Japan's take on American culture. At least that's what I felt playing.
Yeah, no, that's definitely it. So the setting is kind of this fictitious, what I think the Japanese believe to be authentic portrayal of American culture. And and honestly, upon release, Earthbound was somewhat of a failure in Western markets. Not somewhat, like it was. It was a failure. Yeah. It did not sell to the degree that it did over in Japan. But since then, it's matured into something of like a cult classic with sprawling fandoms all over, especially on the internet. And the story is fairly simple, but also it gets very silly and crazy very fast. So it centers around a boy named Ness, which you might be familiar with. Nolan for sure is, because he made it into which release of Smash Brothers was he in?
64,
he's in the first
actually.
One. Yeah,
he's in the first one, and he stayed in the series.
Okay, so he's a character that many people are familiar with. If you can think to Smash Brothers, he's the little boy with a baseball bat and a red cap, and that's Ness. Yep. And he's a little kid. A meteor crashes near his house, and he goes to investigate with his friends, and things get insane so very quickly. Like, time traveling warrior bee, world saving prophecy, and a talking dog, and that's just in the first 5 minutes, and it only gets weirder from there.
Yeah, that was a good description. It's pretty crazy. And Dustin, you said that it was not well received and kind of a failure in America. And that's not shocking to me. Like, at the time of release, I can definitely see why this would not have just been a hit in America. So it's not surprising. But yeah, there's like this cult following it kind of gathered.
Yeah.
And I think most people know about it now because of that.
Honestly, and I wouldn't say this about many games. I can't think of any off the top of my head that I would say this about, but this is a game unlike any other. It's so unique, and it's so different, and so I agree with you. It would be very startling to a new audience, and especially people that are unfamiliar with this kind of humor, this kind of game. I'm just like, I don't. It's a In large sense, it's a parody, you know, to some degree at least, of culture and of this kind of game and of so many different things. The humor is like, it's not childish humor. It's like adult humor to mm-hmm. some degree. And I don't know. There's just a lot of things that wouldn't have set well with the standard person. Not only, you know, years ago when this came out, but even today, if this were to be released, I think it would be it would have mixed reviews.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's unique enough that it's even a little bit hard to describe, and doesn't surprise me that, you know, that finding where to land on describing it is there, because, like, you're right, because it is parody, but it's also not, like, where some of it is parody, some of it is, like, homage, and you're right that it's, like, weirdly funny and, like, adult, but it's also very childish, and it's, I don't know, there's this sort of just grinding tension in, like, what the game is that's really interesting.
Gameplay.
So I was instantly startled when I began the game, because I didn't know what to expect. I'd always not intentionally, but just avoided this game. It didn't look like something that would be appealing to me, and so I didn't know what to expect. But right within the first few minutes, I find out, you know, that I use the home phone to call my dad, and that saves the game. Yeah. And once again, that's just one of the weird things that happen within the first few minutes. Honestly, let me just say kind of up front, because I've been the most conflicted playing this game this week. Here's what happened. At the start of the week, I played this game. Soon after we recorded our previous podcast, I began playing this game, and I was turned off immediately. Didn't like what I was seeing, and it was weird, and I passed kind of the initial opening to the game, and then I just turned it off. I had to wait until I was inspired or had more energy to do that later in the week, and that didn't come for days. I was like, man, I don't want to go back to it, don't want to go back to it, don't want to go back to it. And then I finally did, and in that second playing, really started to enjoy and recognize, you know, what they were trying to do, and appreciate that for what it was, and I still don't know where I land. Like, I still don't know what's going to happen at the end of this podcast recording, but I do know that it's something that had to grow on me. So I want to know, with y'all, like, when you started playing this game, what were your first initial reactions? Were you intrigued? Were you all about it, or were you taken aback?
I think that's interesting, the way that you encountered the game, because I think that is representative of a lot of people who've played the game, and some of which never got past that first
right, never
weirdness.
Go back, yeah.
And some people did, and, you know, liked it, but then, I mean, we don't know where you landed, so we'll see. But I think it's very representative and kind of similar to mine. So last week I talked about the game. Once we found out what game we're playing, I said that I think Dustin will like it, and that, you know, it's very different, and because I've played some of it. It was released on the virtual console on the Wii, I think, maybe the Wii U as well. But I bought it because it was on sale, and I knew about it from Smash and from just, you know, people talking about it. So I played it at first, and I had that drawback at first where it felt very old, and I wasn't quite sure about it. And it wasn't that I didn't enjoy it. It was just that I never had the motivation to play it. And I should have mustered that before I even began playing it. But I knew that there's something there. I just never discovered it. And so I was excited this week when I got to play it. And yeah, it wasn't that different for me like it was for you, Dustin. I was able to get into it. Like, it takes a while to figure out the humor and some of the self-awareness, and there's like this childlike character to it, obviously, because you're playing a kid, but I was able to get past that and enjoy it. So my initial reaction was one of enjoyment.
Kenny, what was yours?
Yeah, I was pretty intrigued by its quirkiness, like, right away. Like, when you pull up the whole opening animation, and it's this you know, crazy alien invasion or whatever it is, and then this, like, epic screen title, and you're sort of expecting one thing, and then you pull up the character creation screen, and then there's this, like, really cartoony but sort of intriguing, like, tiny little awkward kid and you gotta name them, and even like the tone of how it like asks you to name them, including like not selecting a default name, but like having an option that says don't care, as in like I don't care what you name them, and that's what brings you the default name,
right.
And like the even like the way they ask the questions, this sort of like kind of irreverent, kind of like mature, but in a really sort of like simple and straightforward childish way that sort of is the tone of I think the whole game, was super intriguing to me. And so it's weird, it was strange. There's some things I definitely don't prefer about it, but like right off the bat I was like, this game is weird as all get out, but I think I'm really gonna dig it.
And one of my favorite things that I stumbled upon in that same vein, Kenny, of the irreverent way that they communicate to the player. So you play these games and they'll go from talking about, you know, they're in character and talking to you as if you're Ness. And then they say, and you can press X to pull up the map. And then they go on like nothing happened. But I was talking to this lady and she's like, at the library, I don't remember what she was describing, but she was saying you press X to do this, and she was like, you know, the one at the top of the controller.
Yeah, the world map. Yeah, so yeah, just breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and happened later when he was talking about the television, and he kept saying television instead of world, and he kept going, oops, I meant world, you know? And so that charm was there, like, the whole time, and so I loved that.
Okay, so did this game ever remind you guys about Chrono Trigger?
No, not me.
You know, I could see it, and there's elements of it, even with sort of like the sort of offbeat humor. You know, it's a different flavor of that, but Chrono Trigger kind of has a little bit of that. Again, totally different, but some similarities. I felt like I was more reminded of even like a Pokemon game, oddly enough. Between
really?
The perspective of like how you move around and interact with the world and the buildings, and less the tone, maybe a little bit more tone of Chrono Trigger, but maybe in a little bit more of a world. And maybe that's because of the, you know, some of the sort of childhood nature of it, and the main character is a kid and whatever else. I don't know. I got elements of both of those and a few other things kind of all mixed in.
So the reason why it reminded me of Chrono Trigger, yeah, the humor, because you've got some of that in Chrono Trigger that kind of put me at odds, because I've said before that when I go into an RPG, especially a JRPG, like I just want drama and I want it to be like edgy and I want a guy with sharp hair, you know, like that.
You expect to
you.
Cry a little when Aerith dies and be confused.
Right. Oh, golly, spoiler
Whoa.
Alert.
Yeah, what everybody okay.
Disc one ruined.
Go.
Sorry, you startled me. But not only that, but also some of the gameplay features and decisions. So there's non-randomized encounters, and so that's the same with Chrono Trigger, that they're on the map, these
right.
enemies,
yep.
and that they run after you whenever you get close, and you can avoid them if you know what you're doing, or you fight them. And so some of those decisions and characterizations kind of reminded me of Chrono Trigger, but I could also see in maybe aesthetics and even the world map and the different cities how Pokemon could cause you to think some about this game as well.
You know, it actually reminded me more, and I haven't played the game yet, but it reminded me of Undertale, just the vibe
exactly.
of it. And I, you know, that he drew inspiration from this game, like you can
yeah.
just, it's so obvious. And he may have even said that before. I don't know. I didn't look at that. But it's just everywhere.
I don't know if he said it, but it wouldn't surprise me, because my wife and I just finished Undertale either last week or the week before. Loved the game. You should go play it. Pick it up on Steam Sale if you're listening to this within the few weeks of releasing this podcast episode. But Undertale has this kind of humor that is offbeat, that is startling at first, but I feel like if you give it a little bit of time that it grows on you, and that's kind of what it did for me here in Earthbound.
On that same note, and this may, some fans of the series may roll their eyes at me and say I'm reading way too much into it, but there's like this lesson to be learned when you're playing the game in the plot. So you know the bee, Buzz Buzz. You guys know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, warrior time traveling.
Of
yeah,
course.
Yeah. So Buzz Buzz, tells you about the future and the impending doom, and that's how Ness's adventure kind of starts, that he's like this chosen kid and he's going to change the future. And he goes on to explain, you know, it's about banding together. Wisdom, courage, friendship is the three things that he says are most important. And like as you're playing the game, some of those elements come back, and there's like this nice lesson that you can, it's like, it's not like some of these games that are just violent for violence sake, or they don't really have much of a message. But I feel like this game, if you play it right, you can feel happy at the end of it.
100%. And that's why I started the podcast the way that I did, with the question that was seemed unrelated, but that brought us to like talking right. about what we, you know, which characters we see ourselves as, because I really think that that's what's going on here. Sure, they want you to have fun in playing this game. Sure, they want you to explore. Sure, they want you to have, you know, fun and difficult battles. But I think more than that, like, they wrote a script, and I didn't even finish the game. And as I looked into this game, I realized more and more as you get deeper into the plot and as you get closer to the end, that this story is one that really wants you to see yourself. I mean, it's set in the real world, you know, I mean, a fictitious real world, mm-hmm. but the real world. And so you're at the mall, you're going up and down escalators, you're going to a school, you're going to the library, you're going to these places where you went as a kid or where you even go now. And I think that these creators wanted you to see yourself in the game, and they wanted an emotional experience as you played this game. And I think for the most part, for those that stick through with this game, they get just that.
Yeah.
And a different set of emotions than most games go for. You know what I mean? You're right in that a lot of games shoot for that, like, that exhilaration of winning a big battle, or that, like, you know, pride in solving a puzzle, or really typical kind of like gaming satisfaction kinds of things that games go for. But this one very much was like, it's okay to like have a moment where you feel awkward or uncomfortable,
right.
or have tension, or where you squirm a little, but you know what I mean? I don't know. It just, yeah.
I know what you're trying to say. And on that note, I'm curious, while we're on gameplay, what's the weirdest thing that happened to you, to each of you playing the game? Because we've been talking about how many off-the-wall things are in this game. What's the weirdest thing that happened to you, Kenny?
Like, there's tons of little weird things, from a way, like, dialogue is said to a way they interact with something. To, like, following conventions, but then in a completely different way. I don't know.
Well, I'll just share mine, and it happens to everybody that plays this game, but I just wasn't expecting it, so, and I mean, it's not much of a spoiler, it happens near the start of the game, but you're introduced to who I thought was going to be with me for the long haul, you know, the warrior bee that we talked about, Buzz, and you
Dude.
Walk into someone's house, and within a few minutes after meeting him, he gets in a lady's hair, she swats him, and he dies.
Yeah, like, not safe for work, dude, I was so upset.
Like, he dies, and that's when he gives the prophecy, and he dies,
yeah,
so like this main
up.
Character that you
he's
thought
like,
just got introduced
come
to
close.
Gets swatted. He thought he was like, I thought I was a lot stronger. And then he just, in his dying breaths, he tells the prophecy, and it's really funny. It's one of those humor moments, because you can he gives you the prophecy, and then he asks if you understand it. If you said no, he gets frustrated, but then he tells you again, because it's like,
hit no.
Yeah, it's like in his dying breath, if you hit no, he's like,
like for real.
Yeah, he said, okay, I'll tell you again, just pay attention this time, something like that.
So
and then
funny.
He tells you, and he'll tell you again and again until he finally fades. But I mean, just that, it's those kinds of weird moments. What was it for you, Nolan?
I know I wasn't the only one to think this. I was super hesitant to follow that weird dude down a hole in the ground. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I wish that I was recording my playthrough, because I walked in there and the music changes and he's standing there looking at me with a hole in his ground, and I stood there for a second and then walked out. I did not follow.
He's like, you're going to help me, right? Follow me. You go down the hole, and the music changes to this evil music, and you're like, uh-uh. And it's so creepy. It's like this grown man being like, hey, kid, can you follow me down this hole?
Yeah.
It's not okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I know you just sort of mentioned it separately, but I got to say, the music in this thing was absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I'm glad you said it. It's one of my favorite things about this game. The entire soundtrack is so good.
Yeah, easy. And it flows through, again, that sort of sequence of emotions, and even sort of hits that kind of in-between tone, you know, like even sort of your main theme mm-hmm. is like lighthearted but still sort of serious and dark, and I don't know, it's just they really nailed it.
A lot of the music is full of like these drone sounds that are really scary sounding, and it fits so well with how different this game is compared to other games. You look at other video game music, you look at Mario, completely lighthearted, you look at Zelda, and it's got its dark moments, but it's supposed to be a dark setting, but like this game has music that represents how different and separate this game is from typical games, especially in 1994.
Aged. I think even today that the soundtrack is second to none, you know, or close to it, that it is, it really is spectacular, standout-ish. Even the artwork, which we haven't talked much about, I think that in itself is spectacular. Like, it's got its unique feel, and once again, I think that there were issues in American markets with the graphics that, you know, they said, you know, they weren't pushing the Super Nintendo system. They yeah. didn't go with photorealistic graphics at the time. They went with something that was kind of still old school mm-hmm. at the time. But,
right.
but I think it worked, and everything is so colorful. When you go from city to city, each has its unique feel, each has its unique color palette, each has its, you know, like, from everything, even in the detail, guys. So most of the times when you are playing RPGs like this, when you go into towns, the lousiest thing that you just ignore, your eyes, you know, gloss over are the signs in the town, you know.
Yeah.
But even in this game, the signs pop and they have color and they have character mm-hmm. and there's just something about it that makes me feel like this game is aged wonderfully in so many ways. Any problems that I have are like with narrative or mechanical choices, you know, but they aren't really due to the time that has transpired from its release until now, just due to the artistic choices that were made at its creation. So I think every element that could have aged and could have aged poorly did not do that, and instead aged wonderfully.
I think that's an advantage to creating a game that is hearkening back. Like, if you were to create a game now that has the classic RPG vibe, you would still be depending on your narrative and your tone and your humor and your, you know, actual gameplay and those kind of things. And even though we're only talking like a tiny generation back and not much, the fact that on the Super Nintendo they were willing to kind of go with an, I would say, even early NES era look and vibe really kind of just sets up the fact that they're wanting to like create a game that stands on its own outside of those things.
Yeah, I agree. Like, the artwork is good. The soundtrack is good. Both of them are probably great, but those are just elements of what makes this game so unique.
Absolutely.
I'm glad we're past this age of, well, the graphics aren't good enough, or
right.
so harsh on graphics. You know, that spanned for like a good 10 years or more of just people being like, we need to push the boundaries of graphics.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's why we have realistic. The polygons of Nintendo 64.
Yeah, that we love so much, but they weren't trying to like, I mean, some of them were trying to make it so real, but I mean, come on, they're polygons, but, and you know, it's more so in the newer consoles where everyone's like, oh, these graphics are so good. And we all play PC, so we're no strangers to that shots. But like, I'm just glad we're past that and can look at this game and not have to be stuck on the fact that we can't look at MS Paint style graphics, because it wasn't even a factor for me. And so the graphics, it's not a good reason to criticize age if someone was going to use that. But to me, this game, and I didn't play it as a kid, but this game gave me nostalgia where there was none. Which sounds weird because of the definition of nostalgia, but it placed me, like Dustin keeps saying, in Ness's shoes, playing as him, surrounded by this crazy world, but I'm still just this innocent little kid. And again, going back to what I said about how there's something deep to be found in this game, I feel like that's what makes a video game an art form, because you... Some of these games, there's not that content there. But this one, if you take the time and really look for it, there's something to be enjoyed through this world. And when games can make me feel sentimental like that, I feel like it's achieved that art form status.
It doesn't surprise me when you like see the like even to today like size and passion of the fandom that's followed this sort of cult classic.
Yeah, it's like they got
because
it.
Because of that. Yeah, but just because it is unique. It's not like anything else. You know, it has enough of those sort of classic RPG things to make it successful, but is absolutely straight up quirky enough to make you think and make you question and, you know, relate to the game emotionally. And like, that's saying a lot for a Super Nintendo game that's, you know, even trying to look older than that and is, you know, pretty basic in what it's doing. I don't know. It's really cool.
It's just aged so well, and it has achieved classic status. I think it was a classic when it came out. Not many games do that, but I think when it came out, even if people didn't see it or know it at the time, it had done something very special.
The final shell shock.
So all of that being said, it's time for us to either give or hold back our vote for New Game Plus status. So Nolan, start with you because I think it's most obvious with you. Do you suggest our viewers play this game now, or do you say that maybe they should avoid this title for whatever reason?
I would say yes with some reserve, and that's for those who don't like RPGs. And I've said it in some New Game Plus reviews, or like when we give our status, that even if you don't like this genre, you need to play it or whatever. And I'm tempted to say it now, but it's such an RPG, and just the way that you go through battles and have, it's very text based at times. It's not going to be that instant classic for some people that don't like RPGs, mainly JRPGs and older games. But I do give it my New Game Plus seal of approval, and I think that everyone should play it, with an exception of those who just know they won't like it, because some people just know, and it's like, okay, that's fair. But yes, I do.
Kenny?
Yeah, ultimately, I think I've got to. There's a reason that, you know, that it's sort of gotten, I don't know, the problem with cult classics is very much that they usually have something very specific to offer.
Right.
And people will either resonate with that really, really hard
or
not at all. You know, it's almost one of those flavors that though I really liked it, I could see how someone is going to be in one camp or another. Like I could see people like vehemently disliking this game. But I would also judge that person a little bit because this, like, I don't know, because it did it for me, you know? And so, though it needs to be an overarching thing, like, there is enough uniqueness and enough humor and enough quirkiness worth exploring that I will second the vote of confidence that was given by Smash Brothers when they included the character in a mainstream game to accidentally get a little more exposure and say, hey, check out this NES guy.
I feel like that's what they were doing when putting him there. Like, hey, guys, did y'all forget about this game?
Uh-huh. And functionally, it kind of worked. Like, it stayed under the radar for a long time, and I think that was probably part of what re-exposed people to it.
Yeah, and they kind of did the same thing with Fire Emblem. Yes, they released a GBA in America shortly after that. That was a hit, but I think the inclusion of Marth really confused a lot of people, and Roy in the same game. They're like, who in the world are these whiny girl guys? But I can see how, you know, it did the same thing with Earthbound.
Yeah. I give my vote of confidence as well. This game receives my vote, which is odd because I came into this when I had taken my show notes and I had done so yesterday. I still was unsure, and even in my show notes, I think I was heading towards saying no and holding back my vote. But I played more today, before recording this episode with you guys, and during that playthrough, just kind of things, some things connected. And so I agree with Kenny and Nolan that there's some reservation here, this is what I would say, and I can say it with confidence. I would say that everyone should try to play this game. What I'm not saying is that everybody's going to enjoy this game. I think that everybody should try to play it, because for those of you that it connects with, this game might be your new favorite game of all time. But for those of you that it does not connect with, at least you tried it, and at least you saw what it has to offer.
Absolutely.
And at least you saw that there are games that don't fit the common mold, but that are still beautiful in their own right.
Especially that early in the process. You know, you get weird indie games today that are, right, you know, artsy and driven by something unique and different, but you didn't get that a lot then. And I don't know, there's something just sort of like pure and honorable about that and their intentions to me, that I'm with you. Like, people ought to at least be familiar.
Well, three votes means that Earthbound does receive New Game Plus status. It is New Game Plus certified. So if you have not yet, find a copy. Try playing this game and see if you can get through the first half hour, and if you can, then you can kind of make your assertion. Is this something that you should continue to play and enjoy, or that you should set aside? But I think we all three agree that it's worth picking up and playing. Thank you to those that have connected with us this week via social media or email or any way that you've contacted us and sent in your commentary regarding the game Earthbound. Trevor wrote and said, "This is the only JRPG series that I like. Other than this and Paper Mario, I despise this genre. I also have no idea what genre Paper Mario is."
That's a whole nother topic. That's an interesting point.
But it's not Paper Mario is not JRPG, is it?
No, it's something different.
I love that he includes it, but then concludes by saying, "But also, I don't know what genre that is."
Is that all he said?
Yeah.
That is crazy that this is his only enjoyment of a JRPG.
It's just different.
Probably doesn't like RPG games or JRPG games, because this game is a JRPG in that it's an RPG made in Japan, but it's, as we've already said many times, very different than the standard.
Well, maybe I need to change my reservation on the New Game Plus and say, if you hate RPGs, try this one out. You may think it's awesome.
Maybe you had it inverted, yeah.
Maybe so. Thank you, Trevor, for your message. Holden emailed us and he said, okay, when y'all announced the game last week, I was somewhat excited because my favorite genre is RPG and I had heard great things about this game. Also, when Nolan said this is the game in which Ness from Super Smash Bros. Was in, I got even more excited. Boy, was I disappointed. The story was slow, the controls were horrible, and not to mention this game was just plain weird. I didn't get very far before I decided it wasn't worth my time. However, I can see the appeal in this game, but I think that even in this era, there were much better RPGs out there.
It's another interesting point of view. I'm glad that he admitted he can see how this is or could be enjoyed by some, and that's what you were saying to us, that everyone should try it. And I think most people would admit that, okay, some people would love this game.
And if you're looking for Final Fantasy I or Chrono Trigger, like, this isn't it. It's really not. And so I could see someone going in with sort of an expectation of kind of what a classic RPG looks like and then being like, what? And sort of slowly slinking away, you know?
I can't even imagine, like, reasonably thinking fans, like hardcore fans of Earthbound, would say that this is a game for everybody. I don't think that people can realistically say that because it's so niche. Is that how you say it?
I never know. I say it different niche? Every time.
Which one, Kenny?
Nietzsche.
Either. Not that.
That's probably a cuss word in German or something.
It's so Nietzsche. I totally see what Holden's saying.
And I think Dustin, the developers, would even say that this game is not for everybody, because I think they went into the development of this game knowing what they were doing. And I think even they would admit, even if it cost them sales, that it's not for everybody.
No, I don't know if either of you guys read, but upon their release, they heavily marketed it via a promotional campaign, which proclaimed this game stinks. Yeah, so like that was their promotion. Didn't work as well as they thought it would.
No. Yeah, I don't know how you can think that's going to be good.
But Holden, thanks for your thoughts. I think that it's very representative of a lot of people, so it's nice to have that opinion.
Finally, Solid Bryn said, I once hated Earthbound, but loved Chrono Trigger. So they're making that comparison there. Now that I'm older, I gave Earthbound more of a chance, and I recently beat the game. I realized all that is great about the game. I think both are essential classic RPGs.
I think that sums it up well. Like, they both are well-known and sort of considered classic, but for very different reasons, and you have to appreciate them for very different reasons.
I must have missed something with the Chrono Trigger connection, because I feel like a lot of people have said that.
No, I think only because era and genre, and maybe a little bit in tone, but not even really.
Well, the battle encounters and everything, after Dustin was listing them, I was like, oh yeah, I don't know. I was just too occupied by how weird everything was.
No, I do think that they're very, very different games, but I think it's also natural because of kind of how they're considered and both being classics and sort of from a similar era that it's fair to compare them.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we randomly select a new game, a new old game to play for the next 7 days based off of the suggestions that you guys have given us. We've placed them all into our retro gaming list, master list, which is available online. You can find our social media sites and find links on there to that retro master list. If there's a game that is not on there that you would like us to play and you think we'd enjoy or that we'd hate, please send that in as a suggestion to us. We'll add that. I've added multiple ones this week, a couple of emails sitting in our email inbox of other suggestions that we've got to add, some specifically for Kenny. Like this email this email says, I've got a few more PC games for the list for Kenny. So,
well, I specifically asked for PC games one episode.
Right.
So that's fair.
Well, you've got some of those, including a game awesome. That I've never heard of called I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream, which sounds terrifying.
Yeah, what?
So now we're going to hit the randomizer and find out the game that we're going to play next. The video game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days is a game that you might have heard before, not in video game format, but in board game format, called Monopoly.
What?
Oh no, I'm terrible at this.
I kind of love that.
It's... Get ready for six-hour games this week, guys.
That is not how
I don't know how this
played.
Is going to go.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it translates, because I love this game as a board game. I'm that guy.
This has been made and remade multiple times, so which version is this going to be? Was it Super Nintendo?
I believe it was listed as a Super Nintendo title on our list.
I'm going to play the real-life game, the board game.
I'll probably do that at least once as well in honor, but it'll be interesting to see how it translates to a console game, especially an older one.
I've always enjoyed this game when everyone else hated it, the actual board game, and so I'm interested to see how the video game plays out. I'm pretty sure I played it before, and I'm pretty sure that it's almost the exact same as the board game, just in digital format.
Sweet.
I'm not sure how I feel about that, but let's do it.
Yep, we're looking forward to it. Hopefully the three of us will be able to play against one another and test our friendship over the next few days.
I mean,
days.
If so, you guys will get worked, but that's a whole different thing.
Oh, you trash-talking, Kenny, you little red mage.
That's what I do.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening this long on this episode. We appreciate you. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast, as well as on our email, ngppodcast@gmail.com. You can listen to us directly on any podcast provider for the most part, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, even Google Play Store now. Make sure that you are subscribed to us so that you are the first ones to be able to view our NGP episodes. Join us next week as we play the video game Monopoly. Until then, I'm Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And I'm Hannah.
And this has been New Game Plus.